Okay. All right, so we're going to try and finish, hopefully by 12. Okay, so today we're going to be doing Chazara Shir on the sugya of Eid Echad, Neman Bisurin, but really, as we went through the sugya, really Eid Echad more generally. So just a little bit of a preface to this Chazara Shir. So just to talk a little bit more like meta about the way that Rav Rosenzweig approached and presented the sugya. So it's obviously a huge sugya as we were trying to cover the concept of Eid Echad throughout Shas and throughout many different areas of Halacha. So it's obviously a huge sugya, and we really just touched on the Rashi Prakim, and really Rav Rosenzweig was providing us with like the tools about how to think about the different parts and ends of the sugya, and we didn't really go necessarily into like full detail with every component, every shita, for all the questions and issues. So I'm only going to talk about the things that we covered in Shir, just to like hopefully clarify the structure a little bit and the specific points. But just like as a little bit of a disclaimer, we're not necessarily going to be fleshing out the details fully. I'm just going to go according to the structure that we laid out in Shir. So a few of the big framing questions of the sugya about Eid Echad. There were certainly like a lot of different issues that we touched on throughout, but I think if we can kind of like distill it or generalize it to be a couple of the bigger framing questions. So first question is, does Eid Echad in general work as Eidos or Ne'emanos? That is basically the key, one of the main keys to the entire sugya. Whether it works as Eidos or Ne'emanos, we'll define those terms more specifically in a second. And also a secondary question to that, does that depend on which area of Eid Echad we are dealing with? Can we be mechalek between those different areas? Again, we'll clarify that in a moment. So that's like the first big question. And the second big question, the framing question of the sugya, is the question of Ischazik Isura and Biyado. Does Ischazik Isura, Cheskas Isser, impede the ability of an Eid Echad to be effective? If so, what is the nature of Ischazik Isura? And also, if you are in a case of Ischazik Isura, that the Eid Echad is trying to be Naman to overcome that Ischazik Isura, so do we say that his ability to have a sense of Biyado in the case gives him the capability of overcoming Ischazik Isura? And if so, how? What exactly is the nature of Biyado? So just to talk about the first question for a second about whether Eid Echad works in general as Eidos or Ne'emanos. So just to like talk about what these categories exactly mean, to define them a little bit. So obviously, if we're talking about Eidos, so that's the concept of Eidos as we know it. Al pi shnei or shnayim Eidim yakum davar, as the psukim say, that we know that Eidos works kevadai. In general, when you have two Eidim, and the point here would be that in all these areas of Eid Echad, there is still a requirement of regular Eidos, even in Isurim, Shavua, the cases of Ula, as we'll get to, and Eid Echad indeed can be effective in these cases as Eidos. It might not be as certain and the same level of certitude, Bevadai, as a Kad of Shnei Eidim, but it will still be somewhat in that category, as we'll get to shortly. So that's the first option. Then the option that we mentioned is Ne'emanos. The idea of Ne'emanos would be that it is not the same thing as Eidos. Eidos is a category which, again, is reserved for to be a requirement and to be accessed only in certain cases. Mamonos and Erva, and you have to have two. And that's a level of certitude which can only be accomplished by a Kad of Shnei Eidim. It's very formal, has a lot of qualifications. While in contrast, Eid Echad, we'd be saying, works on a level of Ne'emanos, where a person, just practically speaking, is a trustworthy person. So like the example, the way I like to think about it is that if you walk over to someone in the street and ask them what time it is, and they tell you the time, so you just trust them, right? We don't necessarily view that as a formal Kabbalas Eidos. That's not going to have, you don't take it with this great level of certitude, but he's a trustworthy person, and you don't really think twice about it, and you move on. So those are really the two options. And the third option, which we'll speak about maybe a little bit throughout, is the idea of Tzvei Dinim, that really both of these ideas of Eidos and Ne'emanos for an Eid Echad can coexist. And we'll see how that manifests itself as Tzvei Dinim. And then just to quickly touch on the other question about whether, hold on, we'll get there in a second. So whether it can be mechalik between different categories of where Eid Echad is effective. So Rav Rosenzweig very much like to assume that there is like this hierarchy. The structure of the hierarchy being that on one end we have Eid Echads that are likely to work as well as like Eidos, like they're the most likely to work as Eidos, while the other end of the hierarchy are things that are least likely to work as Eidos. So the things on the end of the hierarchy which are closest to Eidos, and let's say Mamonos and Erva, would be Shvua, And then the next thing along the lines would be the cases of Ula, where an Eid Echad is Naaman in the case to say that there was an instance of Misas Habal, to Mati, or the woman to remarry, Egla Rufa, to say that, to identify who was a Rotzeach, to say that the town that's supposed to perform Egla Rufa is really Patur from doing Egla Rufa, and for an Eid Echad to be believed in the case of Sota, where you already have Kino Vestira from a husband to his wife, then the Eid Echad comes and says that the woman was Metame, was Mizana, that Eid Echad is believed. Those are the case of Ula, and that's kind of like the next group after Shua on the hierarchy. And then the furthest thing along in the hierarchy, the least close to the furthest really from the least likely to be Eidus is our main sugya, which is Eid Echad Neman Bisurin, where an Eid comes along and says that this neutral food, this Cheftza, is either Shuman or Chelev or whatever it is, as the most basic example. And the foil to this idea of the hierarchy, something that we've been presenting, is the Shita of the Tashbits. That the Tashbits assumes that basically Eid Echad is always going to work more or less as Eidus, because his whole idea is that really everything should be working as Eidus, and there's just one small little chashash rachok of sheker that maybe somebody hired an aid to lie. So there's like this little tiny chashash rachok, and he goes through that all the different cases that Eid Echad work. We neutralize that little chashash rachok, and it kind of it reverts back to the default, which is that everything works ka'edos, and he doesn't really acknowledge his hierarchy in the same structural way that we've been presenting. And he's kind of like a foil to this whole sugya. Was there a question? Okay, great. So let's move on. Let's just go through these three different categories along the hierarchy and kind of see where this question falls, whether the Eid Echad in these cases, in these areas, works as Eidus or Ne'amana. So we'll start with Shvua, then we'll go to the Ula cases, then we'll talk about Isurin, and then finally we'll end off hopefully getting to the question of the nature of Ischazik Isura, which is kind of an independent question, but also obviously very relevant throughout the entire Sigya of Eid Echad. Okay, so let's first talk about the question of Eid Echad, Ne'aman, and Shvua. The basic concept being that if an Eid Echad basically testifies that somebody is chayav mamon, so we say that the psukim say that only shnei yidim are able to be mechayav someone mamon, but we say that Eid Echad will not be able to become lemamon, but the Gemara says he'll be able to become leshvua, that any Eid Echad who says that someone owes money can be mechayav that person at least to take a shvua, that he does not owe money, just as a basic example. So just some indications that we mentioned very quickly. Again, like the main part of the sigya as we presented in Shir is really more like the structure and the things to think about. But I'm just going to talk about a few interesting indications in Nafkamina that we mentioned within the realm of Eid Echad b'Shvua, whether it works as Eidus or Ne'amanus. Mostly we tried to prove that these indications show that it works as Eidus. And the reason for that being that if you want to end up talking about the question of Eid Echad Ne'aman b'Isurin working as Ne'amanus or Eidus, so you're going to want to try and first prove that these other categories before Eid Echad Ne'aman b'Isurin on the hierarchy, you want to prove that those things can potentially work as Eidus, which then makes it an open question that Eid Echad Ne'aman b'Isurin will work as Eidus as well. Because if these other things only work as Ne'amanus, it's going to be harder, if you assume the hierarchy is as we presented, it's going to be harder to say that these earlier things on the hierarchy are just Ne'amanus, while Eid Echad Ne'aman b'Isurin will work as Eidus. That'll be a little bit harder. So just some indications that we mentioned that Eid Echad b'Shvua, that's Mechayev Shvua, can work as Eidus or Ne'amanus. So one that we mentioned is Rashi and Kedushin, Das Samachem and Aleph. The Gemara is a Havamina that Eid Echad will be Ne'aman, at least for Choshishin the Kedushin, that when you need Eid Ekiyam and Davar Shabbat Erva of Kedushin, we typically require two Eidim, obviously, to witness the Kedushin. The Gemara is a Havamina that maybe one Eid could allow us to at least be Choshishin the Kedushin, at least as on a level of Suffolk. And the way Rashi explains that there is he has a Lashon where he says that Eid Echad will be Chashav L'chayiv Shvua B'dinei Mamanus, Hilkach Be'ervanami Chashav L'skayim Kedushin B'fanav. So obviously Rashi thinks that the only possible way we can entertain Eid Echad working by Kedushin is based off the fact that it works to be Mechayiv Shvua. Now, what exactly does that tell you? Because what are you proving from the concept of the Eid Echad B'Shvua to now be useful as Eid Echad B'Kedushin? So the way Rav Rosenzweig explained that is that Eid Echad B'Shvua, the fact that it works and it's able to be Mechayiv B'Shvua, reflects the fact that he has at least a shame aid, because we require Eid Ekiyam in Kedushin. We require you to at least formally be considered someone who has the status of an aid. So Rashi is basically saying that because Eid Echad B'Shvua gives the aid a shame aid, so then maybe that same shame aid as a Gavra could be made as one of the Eid Ekiyam, or the only Eid Ekiyam, when it comes to Kedushin, at least on the level of Safik, of Choshen, the Kedushin. So that's a little bit of an indication, somewhat, that Eid Achad B'Shavua works in the realm, at least, of Eidos. So that is one indication. Another strong indication is the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara there seems to also have a Havamina that Eid Achad could be Chayav, a Karban Shavuos Eidos, where somebody asks an aide if he has testimony to testify in a certain case, and the aide denies that he knows anything about this case, and then we end up finding out that the aide was a liar. He did, in fact, have aides to testify about, and he held it back. So normally, the din diarai says that aide is chayiv to take a car, is chayiv to a bimakriv a karban shvuos aidos. And the question is, let's say that whole case happens with an aide echad, that an aide echad holds back, he's kovish his aidos, is he mechayiv a karban shvuos aidos? The gemara in shvuos daf lamed beis amud aleph assumes yes. As a havamina, that aide echad would be chayiv take a karban shvuos aidos, even though the case there in shvuos is a case of mominus. Where normally we require two aidim. So how can aid echad be potentially chayav a karban shavuos aidos? In fact, he's not an aid. So that's the Gemara's havamina, that he is an aid, seemingly the way the Gemara says it, he would be an aid theoretically to be mechayav mamon, and then he'd be chayav a karban shavuos aidos, which sounds a lot like, just on the surface of the Gemara, that he works a lot like the realm of aidos. Rashi there seems to embrace that Havamina and explains it quite literally, saying that, yeah, we had a Havamina that an Eid Echad actually could be Mechayev Mamon, just like two Eidim. The Rimi Gash is a little bit of a tweak, but also still in the same camp. The Rimi Gash says, a famous law shown, he says, Shari Yedusa Ru'il Shetzitzitarif Alea Eidos Acheres V'yishchayev Ba Hanitzba Mamon. That the Eid Echad himself wouldn't necessarily be capable of being Mechayev Mamon, but he's Royal Etzitarif with another Eid. And because he's Royal Etzitarif with another Eid, that gives him somewhat his own status as an Eid, a shame Eid. At least like formally and in terms of his status, which at least as a Havamina would obligate him to take a Karban Shavuos Eidos if he holds back any of his Eidos. So that's another indication, possibly, that it works Eidos. And then a parallel Lashon is, to that Rimi Gash, is the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Hei, Halacha Gimel, where it says here in the outline, Perek Hei, Halacha Aleph, that's where the conversation starts. But really, Lashon is there in Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam has the Shita, and he's mechadesh that in general, when we say Eid Echad is Naman in these different cases of Isurin and Ula and Shvuah and whatever, that really in all cases, psulim, like an Isha or a Gazlan, are effective to be made as an Eid Echad wherever Eid Echad works. But, says the Rambam, the one exception is Shvuah. That Eid Echad, when he is Naman, to be mechayiv Shvuah, psulim are ineffective. And the Rambam, similar to the Rimi Gash, has a Lashon, where he says, it's be'edus kasher haroy letztari fim acher, b'yishchayzeh anishma maman al piv. The way he describes Eid Echad and Shavuos Eidos is that, again, he is royal at stari for someone else, to Mechayev Mamon, and therefore, in this case, even though he's only an Eid Echad, and practically speaking, he does not have that second aid to join together with him, to be mitzdarif with, the fact that he could be mitzdarif for that other aid right now gives that Eid Echad somewhat a status of an aid, to be a shame aid, and that's, again, very similar to the Lashon of his Rebbe, the Rimi Gash and Shavuos, that Eid Echad and Shavuos has the capability to potentially work as an aid and not just Nehmanas. And then similarly, one final nafkamina that I will mention for now, I think we'll skip the last one for the sake of time, is the shita of the ktsos in Siman Lamed Ches Sif Katan Hey, that the ktsos is discussing what happens if you have edim mazimim who are mazim du hazama on edim, specifically in Eid Echad that was mechayev a shvua. The case that he talks about is where an aid comes and he says that someone owes money. And then the din d'oraisa again is that Eid Echad can be mechayev of this person to take a shvua, but then for whatever reason this guy can't take the shvua because let's say he's a gazlan or he's a chashud, whatever, a guy for whatever technical reason is not able to take the shvua. So there we have a klal that says mitoch shein yachal lishav lishalim, that the guy's really obligated to take a shvua because of this Eid Echad, but for practical reasons because he can't, we would normally make him pay mamon. So what happens if edim mazimim come and they're mazim the Eid Echad b'shvua in that case? Because even though in that case the Eid Echad is only, technically speaking, supposed to be Mechayev Shvuah, practically at the end of the day, what he's doing is he's being Mechayev this guy Mamon. This guy can't take the Shvuah, he ends up having to pay. So if you zoom out and you look at what's happening practically in Metzias, this Eid Echad was Mechayev this guy Mamon. So let's say Mazimim come and they're Mazim, this Eid Echad, who's practically speaking, be Mechayev Mamon. So can these Mazimim end up needing to pay the, can they make this Eid Echad himself be chayav hazama kasher zamam to pay mamon? So that's the discussion of the ksos. He has a rai. He thinks from Tosos that you should apply hazama in that case to make the Eid Echad pay mamon. as a din hazama. The Ksos himself is a little bit hesitant. And as Lashon is, he says, Libi mahases tekra ki ksiv kasher zamam b'shnei edim hu dichsiv. He says that why are we talking about hazama in this realm of eid achad, who's being mechayev shvua, even in this case practically he's being mechayev mamon. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, says the Ksos, the concept of hazama should be limited to a case of two edim, where you zoom your mazim to edim, and then you'll be mechayev them the din of kasher zamam. That's only a thing by Shnei Edim. This is only Eid Echad B'Shvuah, so it shouldn't apply. So obviously, just this whole question tests whether or not an Eid Echad B'Shvuah is in the realm of Eidos or Ne'amonos, whether he works like Shnei Edim or not, whether he's shy after the concept of Hazama or not. Okay, so that's the discussion of Eid Echad B'Shvuah, some indications that Eid Echad B'Shvuah might be working as a Din Eidos and not just Ne'amonos. Okay, and we'll skip the final case of now of the Chachmei Brisk. For the sake of time, anyone wants to talk about it afterwards, I'm happy to have to talk about it. Okay, so let's move on to the cases of Ula. Again, we mentioned the three cases of Ula, where an Eid Echad is Naaman when it comes to the case of Egla Rufa, of Misa Sabal, and of Sota. So what are the options here? Again, the basic broad options would be that it works as Eidos or Naamanos. The way the Gemara in Yevamos and Ksuba seems to say it, I think the lashon is kol makom. I wrote it down here. Kol makom shemina Torah eid echad, harei kan shnayim. Right, exactly. That's, yeah, kol makom shemina Torah eid echad, harei kan shnayim. So the Gemara has this principle of ula that where eid echad works, at least in these three cases, the way the Gemara relates to it, we're going to say this principle of harei kan shnayim. So what exactly, just on the surface, what exactly does that mean, harei kan shnayim? So the main nafkamina and application of that principle of harei kan shnayim is that if the eid echad is made about one of those three cases, so then he is fully believed, and not just that, of course he's fully believed, meaning in most cases of Isurin, we said that in Eid Echad is Naaman and is believed, but the key in those three cases is that he's not just believed, he's believed Kishnayim, which means that even if another Eid Echad comes afterwards and is Machish, that Eid, he contradicts his Eidus, he's not Naaman. If it's a case of Zeh or Zeh, we say that the original Eid Echad in these three cases is kind of etched in stone, and that even if a Machish comes afterwards, in the case of Zeh or Zeh, he will not be able to be machish this Eid Echad, who is very much set in stone, and his Eidos is fully believed, and it works Kishnayim. So again, the question is, this application of Ula, does that mean that it's actually Kishnayim? He works as two Eidim, who can't be machish by another Echad later on? Do we say that it works to Eidos, or does it work as Naamanos? Now, if it works as Naamanos, the two like sub-options that we mentioned are that it either is, even though it's not working ke'edos, ke'shnei edim, it will still be a formal idea of kabbalas edos bebezdin, meaning even though it only work in the realm of Naamanos, because it has already been miskabel and bezdin formally, we'll say that etches it in stone, and that even though it doesn't work kishnayim, it still is something that formally is very strong and can't be contradicted by another eid machish later on, zeh or zeh. That's one sub-option here of Naamanos, let's call it like 2a. And then to be another sub-option is that, no, it has nothing really to do with the strength of this aid, the strength of his Kabbalas Eidos Bebezdin, but rather it just has to do with the weakness of the aid Echad who's trying to come and be Machashim later on. Maybe the principle is that whether the original aid was weak or strong, Kishayim, Kabbalas Eidos, he could be super weak, pure Naamanos, doesn't matter. The point is that an aid Echad cannot have the capability of coming after the fact and being Machish. It just does not work. So those are the options, broadly speaking. So just a few nafkamina that we mentioned with regards to those options are the following three that we'll try and run through. So the first is the question of whether or not we apply this concept of ula of harei kan shnayim to an eid echad who is a pasul. So would we still say, even if you think that psulim in general are naaman in these cases, do we apply this concept of harei kan shnayim? Do we say that when an eid echad machish comes a few minutes later, that we kind of just ignore him and say this original eid echad is set in stone? So the Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Kaf Aleph, says, at least when it comes to the ula case of Misas Habal, he thinks that ula can apply to psulim, that Naamanos applies to this pasul, that this pasul, again, as we mentioned, the psulim are Naaman, to begin with, in these cases of ula, but we will not apply the principle of ula. We will not apply harei kan shnayim if the eid echad machish who comes afterwards is a kasher. So that's an important qualification. Meaning, we apply ula on a basic level to this original eid echad to testify about misas habal, and that will apply kishnayim by default. That if an eid echad machish comes a few minutes later, we ignore him. The original eid is set in stone. But if their eid that comes a few minutes later, that eid hamachesh is a kosher, working against this original eid achad who's a pasul, so then we don't apply ula. The latter eid achad machesh, who's a kosher, is believed. Now, why would that be? Why exactly would you say that? Meaning, what's this middle ground where we're kind of like applying ula, but if the eid achad machesh who comes afterwards is a kosher, so then basically we're not applying ula. So what exactly is that about? How do you explain that? So Rav Chaim explained something that we alluded to beforehand, which is that in this whole question of Eidos Ne'amonos, he explains kind of like a Tzvei Dinim approach, that Psulim can be effective when it comes to Eid Achad in these cases of Ula, but only working as Ne'amonos, while Ksherim Eid Achads in these cases are believed as Eidos. So then, by default, we're willing to apply Ula to say Harei Kan Shnayim, to say that the original Eid Achad is effective, and we'll say Harei Kan Shnayim, if the original Eid Achad is a Pasul, in these three categories, we will say that that's true. Nonetheless, even though that's true, if the Eid Achad Machesh, who comes a few minutes later, is a Kusher, so then the battle that we have there is Ne'amonos, the original Eid Achad Pasul, versus the Eid Achad Machesh Kusher, who's Eidos. Ne'amonos versus Eidos, so then the latter Eid Achad Machesh, who's working as Eidos, is going to win. And only in that case, we will not apply Ula. So that's a case where we kind of have like Tzvei Dinim, where we have Psulim Eid Achads working Midin Ne'amonos, Kasher Eid Achads working Midin Eidos. That's one nafkamina of this question of Ula. Second nafkamina is whether or not we apply the basic principle of Ula outside these three cases. So one of the questions is applying it to a Stam case of Eid Achad Ne'amon Bisurin. Again, the case we mentioned before, the classic case of an Eid Achad identifying a piece of meat and either being Shuman or Chelev. And then also applying Ula to the question of Eid Achad v'Shvua, when an Eid Achad is trying to mechayev someone mamon, but he's only an Eid Achad, so he's mechayev the person to Shvua. So what do we apply Ula there? So first, the question of Isurin. Does the concept of Ula Harei Kan Shnayim apply to Eid Achad Ne'amon v'Isurin? So just to give a basic example, one Eid comes along and says that you have a piece of meat, and he claims that it is Shuman, and then you have another Eid Achad Machesh come a few minutes later, and he says, no, it's Chelev. Would we apply Ula there and say that original Eid was Ne'amon as Harei Kan Shnayim, and then the Eid Achad Machesh who comes a few minutes later is ignored because the original Eid Achad is set in stone, and we apply Ula Harei Kan Shnayim? So would we apply it there? So it's a Machlokas Rishonim. The Rush and Gittin, the Shach in Yoridea, famous Tshuva of the Ma'arik and Simon Pei Zayin, which is quoted in a bunch of places, seem to be of the opinion that, of course, we will apply Ula to Eid Achad Ne'amon Bisurin, there's no reason not to. We'll say Harei Kan Shnayim. We ignore the second Eid Achad Machesh, who comes a few minutes later. So that is the Shita of many Rishonim. But the Chiddush of the Shita of the Nemuke Yosef / Ritva in Mesachas Yevamos, in the Dape Arif, Daf Chavches, is that we will be Mechalik. We will not apply the concept of Ula Harei Kan Shnayim to Eid Achad Ne'amon Bisurin. It is only going to apply in these three cases of Ula, the Egla Rufa, Misa Sabal, and Sota. Now, why would you be Mechalik between, what's the Sfar to be Mechalik between these three cases of Ula and a regular case of Eid Achad Ne'amon Bi'isurin? So the way the Ritva seems to explain it is that Ula, Harei Kan Shnayim, only applies in these three cases because it works as Eidus, it works Kishnayim. That's the whole Chiddush of the Gemara, that we say Harei Kan Shnayim, it works as two Eidim. But says the Ritva and the Muke Yosef, that's only true in these three cases which revolve around either Onshin or Erva, where the standard is Shnei Eidim. So Ula allowing in these three cases, Eid Achad to be effective is going to work Kishnei Eidim. It's going to be Kasha Kibarzel set in stone in Eid Achad Machesh, can't come afterwards, we'll say Harei Kan Shnayim. While in contrast, Stami Surin, the whole principle is Eid Achad Ne'amon Bisurin. It's Eid Echad Ne'amon Bisurin. The point is that we are willing to accept an Eid Echad to work in Isurin as a Din Eid Echad, not as Kishnayim, not as Keidos, rather just as a Din Ne'amonos. It's not working Kishnayim, it's not working as Eidos. And we'll get to the implications for Eid Echad Ne'amon Bisurin shortly. But for now, the main point of the Shita of the Muke Yosef and the Ritva is that they're understanding the application of Ula in these three cases of Egla, Rufa, Misa, Bal, and Sota as being Keidos. That's why it will be limited to these cases, these three cases, and we will not apply it to Yisurin, which only work as Ne'amonos. Okay, so that's the application of Ula, whether or not it applies to Eid Achad Ne'amon Bisurin. And then finally, the third nafkamina is whether or not we'll apply Ula, Harei Kan Shnayim, to a case of Eid Achad B'Shvua. So again, just to lay out the basic case, you have an Eid Achad who is Mechayev Samar Shvua, he says, you owe money, And then you really should be mechayev the mamon, but you're only one aid, so you can't. So you're mechayev that person a shvua. So then what happens if you're mechayev that person take a shvua, and then another aid achad machish, who we've been referring to as an aid hamisayeya, comes a few minutes later and says, no, this guy does not owe money, he does not have to take a shvua. So do we consider that aid achad machish who's coming a few minutes later, or do we ignore him and say, ula harekan shayim to the first aid, echad who is mechayev shvua, that he's kashya kabarzel, and that he is set in stone. So that is the question whether or not we apply it to Shvua. So just to talk out the Shitos very quickly. So it's a machlokas. The way we saw it at least quoted was a machlokas achronim between the Ksos and the Shach. The Ksos himself thinks that we should apply by default the concept of Ula Harekan Shnayim to the case of Eidachad B'Shvua. And we in fact would ignore that Eidachad Machish, Eidachad Misayaya who comes a few minutes later. But the Shach does not apply Ula. Says the Shach, we will consider that Eidachad Machish, Eidachad Misayaya who comes a few minutes later. We do not apply Ula. We do not treat the first aid, Echad B'Shvua, as Kasha Kabarzel, set in stone, Harekan Shnayim. We do not say that. Rather, we consider the aid Machish who comes later on. So the question is, what's the basis for the Shita of the Shach? Again, the pressure is on the side of these Shitas who thinks that we're Mechalik between cases, that we limit the case of Ula. We do not apply it to all aid Echads. So why would you be Mechalik? So the way we explained it is that it probably means that he doesn't think that Ula, Harekan Shnayim, is actually working ke'edos, is actually working kishnayim. Because if that's the case, so then for sure you should likely be applying it to Shvua, where it's more likely, as we mentioned with the original hierarchy, it's more likely that an eid achad b'shvua works ke'edos. So if you think Ula is predicated upon the concept of kishnayim, this first approach of eidos kishnayim working really ke'edos, so then you would be very likely to apply it to eid achad b'shvua as well, to say that he's set in stone, and that is he is kashya kabarzel harikan shnayim. But if you do not say that, which the Shach is doing, he's being mechalik, so then it's likely one of these other two options, that either it's the weakness of the eid achad machish, who's coming after the fact, or it's just stamadin in Kabbalah's eidos bebezdin, that even if that original eid achad mechayev shvua is not working, if that original eid achad is not working ke'edos, at least there's a din of Kabbalah's eidos bebezdin. Now, if you take one of those two approaches, so then it gives you more the ability to be mechalik between these three cases of Ula, of Egla, Rufa, and Nisa, Bal, and Sota, be mechalik between those three, and the case of Shvua. Because you can say that in Shvua, maybe the Kabbalah's Eidos works differently, which we'll mention in a second, or more simply, that Eidachad Machish there is stronger. Usually in these three cases of Ula, the Eidachad who's trying to be Machish is weak. We say an Eidachad does not have the ability to be Machish. But because in Shvua, ironically, because it works more to Eidos, that might give more weight to that Eidachad Machish. Right? It might give more weight to that second Eid. So, irrespective of how the first aid, the Eidachad B'Shvua, is working, it doesn't matter, because no matter what, we can't just ignore a second Eidachad who's coming to be Machish, because when it comes to the realm of Shvua, we give a lot more credence, we give a lot more chashidus to any Eidachad that comes to testify about something, so therefore in that case, the Eidachad Machish will be stronger, we will not apply Ula, we can't just say the first is Kishnayim and we ignore the second aid. We cannot say that because it's the realm of Shvua. And again, the other idea revolves around Kabbalah's Eidos Bebezdin. So what exactly does that mean? Why would the idea of Kabbalah's Eidos Bebezdin allow you to be mechalik between these three cases of Ula and Eidachad B'Shvua? So the Ksos on that quotes his brother, who, and again, it's unclear which brother. Apparently he had a bunch of brothers. I know one of his brothers was the Kuntzer HaSfekos, but I don't know. I think one of his other brothers also wrote one of the big Sfarim, but whatever. Either way, so one of his brothers, he quotes here for an explanation of this chiluk, and he basically says that the way Kabbalah's Eidos Bebezdin works in these three cases of Ula and the way it would work in the case of Shvua are completely different. When it comes to Shvua, there's not a real form of Kabbalah's Eidos Bebezdin. The way he says it is that we're only Mekabel and Bezdin to be Mechayev this guy's Shvua, while in the cases of Ula, of Egla Rufa, Misa Sabal, Sota, they have much greater ramifications. They, in Mises Abal, it allows a woman to be matir to remarry. In the case of Egla Rufa, you're pottering them from, you're basically identifying a rotzeach, and you're pottering them from needing to do the procedure of Egla Rufa. And when it comes to Sota, obviously you're being mechayev someone Misa, a grave onesh, for committing znus. So, says the brother of the Ktos, only there are we going to apply this concept of Ula Harekan Shnayim, because there the Kabbalah's Eidos is very strong, it carries a lot of weight, So there we'll say the original Eid is set in stone. He's Kashuk Kaparzel. Well, in contrast, in Shvuas Eidos, where the Eid Achad is only being Mechayev, a Shvua, it doesn't register in the same heavy way. You're only being Mechayev someone a Shvua. It's not considered a real Chiyov, that's Nifsak and Bezdin. So then we are going to be Mechalik and say, and we will not apply Ula in that case. Okay, so that is the question of whether or not Eid Echad, these three cases of Ula, works Ke'edos or works like Ne'amanos. Okay, and then finally, to get to the last rung of the ladder on the hierarchy, the question of Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin. Okay, so again, just the basic question of, again, whether or not Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin works ke'edus or ne'amanus. When you have an aid who says that this piece of meat is shuman or is chelev, and that he is ne'aman, does that work as ne'amanus? Does it work as eidus? Or is the approach of tzvedinim relevant, which we'll get to in a second? So there are a few indications. We'll mention three quickly. Three indications regarding this question of eid achad ne'aman bisurin, whether it works ke'edus or ke'ne'amanus. So the first, the way the sugya starts, the way we started it, the way it should start just conceptually, the way it'll start if you just read Rashi and Tosfos, the second Eid Echad comes up. And that is the question of what is the makar that Eid Echad is Ne'aman B'Yisurin. So we mainly noted the opinions of Rashi and Tosfos. Seems to be that Tosfos assumes, like default you would assume, which is that you should have a good makar for Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin. Meaning, we have a makar saying that Shnei Eidim are required in general, for Mamados and for Onshin, for Erva. So why would we assume that Eid Echad works in Isurin? What's the makar for that? Toso says that the makar is v'safrala, that the concept that a woman, an Isha, is believed with regards to her own count when it comes to Nida, with saying that she is no longer seeing Dam, that is Matameher, Tomas Nida. So Toso thinks that that's the makar. Well, Rashi, in several places that we noted here in Gidin, the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara in Chulin, Rashi seems to basically ignore the need for a makar. He doesn't even just ignore it. Sometimes he just says flat out, like, how could it be that, why would you need a makar? How could anyone ever possibly think that Eid Echad would be ineffective in cases of Isurin? How would you ever be able to eat at someone else's house if we require two Eidim? Rashi takes it as a given. Of course, it's intuitive. Of course, Eid Echad should be Ne'aman in these cases. I'm not going to go into the different subtle formulations that Rashi has and the different ways we explained it, because I think the broader point is the most important, which is that Rashi doesn't really feel the need to address what the makar would be. And the question is just conceptually, like, which directions would you go with this machlokes? Like, what's the nekudas of machlokes? Why would you need a makar? Why would you not need a makar? So I think there are different ways to explain this, but I think the main direction that Rav Rosenzweig took, that apparently the Torah Skitin talks about as well, is that Rashi might be able to ignore the need for a makar to prove Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin because he thinks it works as ne'amanus and not as eidus. And then Mimela, for whatever reason, Rashi just assumes that your average person has Ne'amanus, which we default do assume in general, that people have a Cheskas Kashrus, that people are believed. And just intuitively, as we said before, if you go up to someone in the street and ask them what time it is, and they tell you what time it is, you would believe them. Stam person does have Ne'amanus. And then Rashi's assuming that halakhically that's also true. And the point is that because our standards are lower, we're only looking for Ne'amanus, we're not working for Eidos, so we don't need this like grandiose mucker to tell us that Eid Echad works Ke'edos, we just have a svarah to say that it works as Ne'amanus. While someone like Tosos, who's looking for a mucker, it might work as Eidos, might work as Ne'amanus, we don't know that for a fact. It certainly opens the door for Eid Echad to work as Eidos, and a mucker, and having a mucker might indeed be proving that. Okay, that's a little, again, it can really go either way. There are different ways to go with that question, but conceptually I think that's like one avenue that we took. It might revolve around this question of Eidos versus Ne'amanus, going in that direction, that Rashi sounds more like Ne'amanus. Okay, so that is one nafkamina, the question of the makar for Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin. A second big question is the question of Ischazik Isura, that our Gemara seems to mention the concept of Eid Echad facing the obstacle of Ischazik Isura, that even though Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin in general, if it's going up against the Ischazik Isura, an Eid Echad will not be Ne'aman. That's what several Gemaras seem to indicate, most notably our Gemara in Gidin, seemingly also the Gemara in Yevamos, Peches, that if an Eid Echad is coming along and saying that a woman who is currently married has the Ischazik Isura, then now she is matir, now she is free, now she can remarry, that is an Eid Echad going up against the Ischazik Isura, that will be ineffective, he will not be believed. There are other Gemaras that indicate otherwise, and in fact there are some Rishonim who paskin otherwise. even in the face of certain Gemaras that indicate that Eschazik Yisur is a factor. Certain Rishonim say no, doesn't matter if the Gemaras sound that way. Lamaisa, we hold that an Eid Achad is Nama no matter what, even going up against Eschazik Yisur. Just to mention a couple Rishonim that we noted, Tosos in general seems to be of the opinion that we take Eschazik Yisur seriously. Eid Achad will lose in the face of Eschazik Yisur, while in contrast, the Ramban, Gidon, and the Rashba in a few places thinks that it doesn't matter if there's Eschazik Yisur, we ignore it. Eid Achad is still Nama and Bisurin in all cases. And the question here, again, is like, what might this machlokas revolve around? Why would you say that Eid Achad loses or beats Eschazik Yisur? So again, there's different directions you can go with this, and certainly the machlokas could revolve around different things. But one thing that we said it might revolve around is the character of Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin. Does it work like Eidus or Ne'amadus? You could say that Tosfos seemingly assumes that Eid Achad works as Ne'amadus. That makes it obviously a little bit weaker, a little bit less certain, less of a din badai. It might lose to things like Eschazik Yisur, makes it a little more vulnerable. While the Ramban seemingly assumes that Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin works ke'edus, and therefore, like all other Eidim, of course you're able to work even against a chazaka. Eidim can normally be motzi something from its chazaka. That's the shita of the Ramban and Tosfos. And then there is the famous shita, who's kind of in the middle of this, a Tzvei Dinim approach, like we alluded to beforehand, which is the shita of the Rayat Imsachim, which we'll get to more in a second when we talk about Eschazik Yisur. But just to say it out now, that the shita of the Ravid is that whether Eid Achad loses to Eschazik Yisur or not really depends. The Ravid, at least in a standard case, the Ravid is kind of really machalik between the cases where you're being made on a Maisa Atzmo, something that you did yourself, versus Maisa Acherim, something that someone else did. So we're going to focus on the category of Maisa Acherim, which is most cases of Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin, in the cases that we've been talking about up until now, where let's say someone comes and he testifies about something as Shuman, whether this is a piece of meat, whether this is Chalev or Shuman. So the Ravid within this case of Maisa Acherim, the standard case of Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin, he is machalik when it comes to this question of beating or losing to Eschazik Yisur. Says the Ravid that when there is no Eschazik Yisur, so he thinks that you could be Naaman. That's kind of seemingly sounds like the Shita of the Ramban, that Eid Achad is effective against Eschazik Yisur. Nonetheless, when there is Eschazik Yisur, the Ravid thinks that you're only going to be effective if you are a kosher. So again, the Shita of the Ravid is that if there's no Eschazik Yisur, so then Eid Achad is believed no matter what. But if there is Eschazik Yisur, the Ravid's open to Shitas HaRamban that you're Naaman, but only if you're a kosher. So Eid Achad, he thinks psulim are effective in general, and when there's Eschazik Yisur, only ksherim are effective. So there, we noted that he seems to kind of take this Tzvei Dinim approach, that he thinks that Eid Achad and Bisurin could work as Eidus or Naamanus. It just depends on whether you are a kosher or a pasul. Because again, he thinks that psulim are effective in general. This is just, Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin by default is just Ne'amanus. So therefore, psulim are effective. But when there's Eschazik Yisur, there all of a sudden we require Eidus, and Ksherim will work as Eidus. So there you see that the Ramban thinks that psulim in general can be effective by default as Ne'amanus. But the second that Eschazik Yisur is there and we require Eidus, so there you need Ksherim who work as Eidus. So that's kind of like this Tzvei Dinim approach. Okay, so that's the question of Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin, whether it works like Eidus or whether it works like Ne'amanus. Different indications based off the Makor for Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin is Eschazik Yisur. And then finally, the question of whether Psulim work or not. And yeah, actually, let me just add one point to that, because I think it's worthwhile to note. On that Ravid Imsachim, who's Mechalik between Psulim and Ksherim, so I really should take a step back, and just aside from this Eschazik Yisur question, really just mention a couple of other shitos regarding the question of Ksherim and Psulim in general. Forget about Eschazik Yisur, meaning Estam, case of Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin. Do you require Ksherim, or are Psulim effective? So I kind of like skipped a step mentioning the Ravid, so I should really take a step back, because I realized that we didn't mention, it's a very basic question that we didn't really lay out. When it comes to Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin in general, so do you require psulim or are ksherim effective? So we noted you have the shita of the Rambam, which we mentioned before, the shita of the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos Parakeh, who seems to think that in general, again, aside from Shvuah, which you mentioned before, but at least with regards to the Ula cases and for our focus now, Eid Achad Ne'amad Bisurin, that the Rambam thinks that psulim are effective. Someone's an Isha, someone is a Gazlon. someone who normally pasul eidos is effective by eidach anam and bisurin. There are some rishonim who seem to possibly disagree. The Tosos Chantz and Psachim, we noted, potentially Tosos in a few places, thinks that psulim are ineffective. So the basic point here would be that if you think that psulim are ineffective, so that would probably be because you think that eidachad always works as eidos. Well, if you think like the Rambam that psulim are effective, it's just because it works as nemanos. And again, just to reiterate the sheet of the Ravid, he has a Sveidinim approach. He thinks that by default, like the Rambam, psulim are effective. It only works as nemanos, so therefore standards are lower. Even psulim are effective. Nonetheless, if it's chazik isura, so there we require eidos, we require ksheirim, who work as eidos. So again, the Tzvedinim type approach. Okay. And then finally, let's discuss the question of Ischazik Isura, which obviously we just made reference to, but just to flesh out what exactly is the nature of Ischazik Isura. So here, just broadly speaking, we mentioned two conceptual options as to how Ischazik Isura works. Again, just to mention a basic case, someone comes and says that let's give the example of Chalev and Shuman. So until now, we've been discussing a case of Eidach Anam Bisurin where the piece of meat is neutral. We don't know whether it's Chalev or Shuman, and the Eid tells us there's either Chalev or Shuman. But let's say we have, in Ischazik Isura, there are rumors going around, or we know that at one point in time, someone thought that this piece of meat was Chalev or Shuman. Let's say, in this case, Chalev, because it's Ischazik Isura. And then you have an Eidachad who comes along and says, no, this piece of meat that you thought is Chalev is actually Shuman. So the question there is, what exactly would be the relevance of Ischazik Isura? What impact does it have that gives it the ability to counter the capabilities and power of an Eid Echad, who's typically Neman B'Isurin? So one option is to say that Ischazik Isura is working just like any other force/factor. It works just like, we've been saying, like a Migu, or a Rov, or a Svek Sveka, things that kind of like when you have question marks and Svekos in certain cases, so it tips the scales in one direction. So the way Ischazik Isura would do that, it would tell you, stick to the status quo, or just the likelihood of something changing is kind of, you know, less likely than the idea that it did change. So it's kind of just like another basic force/factor, which tells us that by default, this chavtza is more likely usser than mutter. That is the simple way to understand this chazik isura. The other way to understand this chazik isura, the more nuanced way that we've been presenting it, is that it's not just working as a normal force/factor, but rather it shifts the focus and thereby it shifts the requirements of what this aid is really testifying about. What do we mean? What we mean is that when you have a piece of meat that is ambiguous, we don't know whether it's Chalev or Shuman, and then an aid just comes and tells you, hey, this is actually Shuman. So in that case, all the aid needs to do, and in fact is doing, is what we'd call a hakara. He is identifying this piece of meat. He's identifying the status of this piece of meat, whether it is, in fact, Chalev or Shuman. We have no idea, and he is revealing the status of Chalev or Shuman. However, when we have in Ischazik Isura that previously we understood this piece of meat to be a piece of Chalev, Ischazik Isura, we understood it to be Isser, so then when the Eid Echad is coming and saying, no, actually, this piece of meat is Shuman, actually, you know what? Let me pick a different example because it doesn't really work out with this idea as much. Forget about the Chalev example. Let's talk about actually a different example. Let's talk about something going not from, you know, Chalev to Shuman, but rather something that goes from something that's Tevel to something that is Me'usar, where the Trumas and Meisers are separated from. So normally, if we have like a box of produce that we have no idea if it's Tevel or if it's the Trumas have been taken from it and it's Me'usar, so normally we just say it's ambiguous, and Eidachad is coming and he's revealing the status of this thing, the Hakara, he's saying, hey, this box of produce, which you don't know anything about, I'm telling you this is Mutter, this is Me'usar, Trumos have been separated from it. So that's normally just a Hakara. However, if we have Ischazik Isura, where we previously understood that by default, this box of produce was in fact Tevel, it was Usar, and then an Eidachad is coming and telling us that it's in fact Me'usar, so he's changing our whole, he's shaking up our whole world. We understood that originally this thing was Aser, and now you're coming and telling us that thing is Mutter. It can only be, something that is Tevel can only become Mutter if there was a transformative Maisa that occurred to it, that was performed on it, namely being Mafrish, Trumos, and Maiseros. So therefore, when an aid comes and tells us that this thing that was Tevel is now Me'usar, Trumos and Maiseros have been taken from it, he's not just talking about the status of this thing as being, you know, is it Shuman, is it Chalev, no. He's testifying about that transformative Maisa that took place. It's not just Eidos that's a Hakara about the status of something. It's Eidos on the Maisa, the transformative Maisa, from this being from this being something that was by default usur, something that was tevel, to now something that is mutter, where trumus and maisros were taken from it. He's being made on that maisa, hafrashas, trumus, and maisros. And that might require higher standards for what this Eid Echad is accomplishing and what we require out of this Eid Echad. So what do I mean by that? So just to talk about a few nafkaminas quickly before we wrap up, regarding this question of Ischaz Gisura, whether it works at this 4/factor or whether it works as Eidus Alamaisa. So the first question, which should be a little bit easier for us because it's something that we just mentioned, whether Eid Echad and Bisurin works with Psulim or Ksherim. So we noted the Shitas Aravid, who thinks that in general, like the Rambam, by default, Psulim are effective when it comes to Eid Echad and Bisurin. You could trust an Eid Echad who's apostle, an Isha or a Gazlan, someone who normally wouldn't work as an Eid, but they work when it comes to Eid Echad and Bisurin, because again, the default idea is that it's only working as an Emunah, so Psulim are effective. Nonetheless, we said for the Raivid that if there's a Schazik Surah, now all of a sudden we require Eidos. Now all of a sudden we require Ksherim, a Kasher Eid Echad, who works as Eidos. So, forgetting about the way Eid Echad and Bisurin works, how does Ischazik Yisura work? Why does, without Ischazik Yisura, Psulim are effective, we only require Ne'amanus, but all of a sudden when there's Ischazik Yisura, like this case of, let's say, Tevel, going from Tevel to Musar, now all of a sudden the standards have been changed, and now all of a sudden we require Eidos. So if Rosenzweig thought that that's representative of this idea, that the nature of Ischazik Yisura is that it's not just a 4/factor, which would make it hard to explain why we make the jump from requiring Ne'amanus to Eidos. Rather, the nature of Ischaz Gisura is about being now requiring Eidos al HaMaisa, on a transformative Maisa that makes this produce go from, let's say, Tevel to Me'usar. You're being made on the fact that a transformative Maisa, Hafrashas, Trumas, and Maisas took place. And because now you're being made on a transformative Maisa, that helps us now completely up the stakes. We no longer require just Ne'amanus for the Hakara about something. We're requiring now Eidos on a transformative Maisa. That requires formal Eidos. That requires Ksherim. And that is the opinion of the Raivid. And then just to quickly mention just a couple of other nafkamina. The question of Eid Echad working Keneged Rov. So as we mentioned, the Pashas of the Sugya, even though some Rishonim we noted disagree, the Pashas of the Sugya, Shitas HaTosfos, is that Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisura normally loses if it's going up against Ischazik Yisura. So the question is, for that shita, for the pashas of the sugyas, for the shitas atosvos, if Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisurin in fact loses to Ischazik Yisura, would we also say that Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisurin would lose to a rov? Let's say you have a few pieces of meat, and you know that rov of them are usur, but then this Eid Echad is coming along and saying, taking a piece of meat and saying that something is mutter. So would that Eid Echad be believed he's going up against a rov? So the way the Shmaitza presents it is that it's a simple hierarchy. It's a davar pashut. If Eid Echad loses to Ischazik Yisura, Kal v'chomer Eid Echad is going to lose to a rov. Why? Because he says, in general, in halacha, we know that a rov is stronger than a chazaka. Ruba chazaka, ruba adif. So then by the transitive property, you would say that if Eid Echad, Ne'amah Bisurin, is losing to Ischazik Yisura, so then Kol Shekein is going to lose to a rov, which is stronger than Ischazik Yisura. However, Rosenzweig noted that you would only assume such a linear hierarchy if you're understanding Ischazik Yisura here to work as a normal 4/factor, just like a rov does. That it's about likelihood, that it's about telling you whether or not this thing is likely mutter usser, that it's default more likely usser than it is mutter. But if you take this new understanding, this new approach, that Ischazik Yisura shifts the focus from just a hakara to edus ala maisa, edus on a transformative maisa, edus on being mafresh trumas and maiseros, so then that changes the entire equation. Maybe we'll say like the pashas of the sigil, like Shitas HaTosfos, that Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisurin loses to Ischazik Yisura, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to lose to rov. It might only lose to Ischazik Yisura because it has this unique character that it shifts the question from a hakara to Eidos HaLamaisa. While rov obviously doesn't accomplish that at all, rov is just a simple 4/factor, which maybe Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisurin can overcome. Okay. And then one final nafkamina that we'll mention, and we'll skip the other two just for the sake of time, because I know that they have something in here that's going to take place in a second. What's going on? Oh. So just to mention the final nafkamina, that is the question of biyado. Tosos seems to think that when it comes to biyado, which the simple understanding of the Gemara is that Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisurin loses to Ischazik Yisura, but if that Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisurin has the capabilities of biyado, so then that Eid Echad can overcome Ischazik Yisura. Now, what exactly is biyado? So Rashi over there, I don't want to get into the details, but Rashi seems to think that when you have biado, so that neutralizes the power of Eschazik Yisura, and it reverts us back to regular Eidecha Naman B'Yisurin for whatever reason. So the point is, how can Rashi tell you that when an Eidecha Naman B'Yisurin has the capabilities of biado, that it undermines Eschazik Yisura? That only makes sense if you say that Eschazik Yisura is like a force/factor, something that's just like working like a rove or a svek sveka. Then you could say that maybe Eid Echad, who has biyado, is so strong that for whatever reason he has the ability to ignore that Eschazik Yisura. But if you say that Eschazik Yisura is shifting the focus from being a hakara to being made on something that is like a transformative maisa, the maisa of Rosh Hashanah, let's say Trumas and Maisros, so then it's much harder to say that biyado is going to undermine and to neutralize that Eschazik Yisura, because objectively, factually, it's true that we still should require Eidos al Hamaisa. And that just, again, just a few nafkamina of that question of Eschazik Yisura, whether it works like a force/factor, or whether it works to shift the focus from Akara to Eidos al Hamaisa. And that is just the Rashi Prakim of the Sugya of Eid Echad Nema Bisurin, Eid Echad really in Shas in general, the question of Eschazik Yisura, and the question of how Biyado interplays with that. Okay, Shkayach, guys, and Hatzlacha on the upcoming Bechina.